It's time for What's Up with opposition leader Simon Bridges.
That kind of sleazy but kind of cool, you know?
Yeah, no, I can go with that. Sounds like I've just walked out of a brothel or something, but that's okay.
Hey,
not that that's ever happened, Mikey. I just sort of
You've never been to visit the sex workers in your local
No, moving. Let's move right along.
I don't mean as a customer. I mean as an MP.
I'm trying to think if I have ever had meetings with. I have as a local MP. Anyway,
that just sounds like I'm trying to set you up for something. I mean, that's not the whole point of this. Everyone's pay's been frozen. That's you as well.
Yeah, and look, and it's not.
He's
bad
spewing,
thing.
Wouldn't
it's
you?
A good thing. No, I'm not. I mean, the reality is, it's never going to be a good idea to put MPs' pays up. We're paid well. I don't know an MP that's gone into this for the money. And, you know, what we did when we were in government, we put it in the hands of independent folk. The problem with that is they kept giving jolly pay rises. And now it's set.
Well, this government's done the same thing, and they've just not taken the advice of the consultant. Is that right? Or the independent
advisor?
Yeah,
that's basically right. That's basically right. And then the other thing that we did, which seemed like a good idea, was, you know, set our pay rises in line with the public sector. Although, of course, what we know with, you know, and rightly so, nurses striking, teachers striking and so on, but probably police are coming, you're going to see really big or significant pay rises for them. Now, that would mean significant pay rises for MPs, and that's not on. So I support us trying to work something out.
Cool. You mentioned teachers there. The teachers' pay situation is delicate. It's long overdue to have the spotlight on it. But where do you think it's at, and what do you think you guys could have done in government to have made it a little bit easier for the teachers?
Well, I think they will get a pay rise, and, you know, to be clear, for me as leader, you know, new leader, I support that. I come from a family of teachers. I can't remember if we've talked about this before. Did you tell me you come from a family of teachers as well?
No. Might have been one of the people covering for me, I think. But,
you know, look, whether it's my mum, my sister, my brother, so they work hard. They deserve to be a respected profession, much more than they are, actually, I think. We need to get back to days when people look up to teachers in society. And pay is but a part. It's a big part, but it's a part of all of that.
So what was missing during the National Party's term in government? Did it just get sidelined? Did it get sort of were they sort of happy during that time, or has it just sort of come to a term now where is it a timely thing that?
I think it is all of that. I think, you know, part of it was the teachers actually understood, which is why they didn't strike in our time. That we'd had the GFC, we'd had earthquakes, we've had all these things heaped upon the country, and so the timing wasn't right then. I think what's also true is, look, whenever we had negotiations, we got into a good space. They got increases, not the big sort of thing we're talking about at the moment, but they did get increases. But what is true now is they're sitting there and they can see that actually, you know, times are pretty good. We've had a really strong economy. They want a dividend from that. And, you know, now is their time.
There isn't part of you that thinks maybe that in government you guys should have stopped listening to the whinging and carrying on of small business people in this country saying they just don't get enough for them today and maybe just keep casting more eye over it? I know you're not going to answer that.
You know I'm not going to agree with that. So why do you ask?
I just think we're in a position where it's the worst thing about it. It's just a shame that we have to go through all this and that teachers have to feel aggrieved that way. And the same as you say with nurses, and the same with police and all those sort of
You know my politics, and I know yours to an extent, not entirely. But come on. Let's also be a bit honest about something. The Labor Party went into the election promising to be Santa Claus. They have got a lot of money now. They've got billions of dollars to play with. The economy's coming off a bit, but they still, you know, still in strong shape. And they're the ones not doing it. So, you know, I mean, they overpromised and they're under-delivering.
If you're in government right now, would you be sort of pointing in the same direction as they are as far as the for the pay negotiations, or would you be shooting a bit higher, is that what you're saying?
Well, I think the truth is money doesn't grow on trees, you know, so you wouldn't say, look, whatever you want, we'll do it. I think it's 16% they're talking about, right? And the problem with that is that it then has a flow-on effect to all these other areas. But would they get a pay rise? Absolutely. Can I tell you here, without the sort of papers and knowledge of, you know, what's allowable in terms of that fiscal sort of envelope the government's got, don't know. But they get a pay increase. But it'll be more than just pay, right? I mean, you might have seen back at my National Party conference, I gave a speech and I talked a lot about, because something I thought about quite a bit, we didn't do it in government, I get all of that, but smaller class sizes. Well, actually, that would have a real effect on the terms and the conditions of teachers. They would be doing quality work with fewer students. That would be part of the picture as well.
Right. You've also had some comments to make about the extra police officers that have been that we're told we're getting as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, I think they're saying 1,800. I mean, no, so let's not get pedantic about this. Really,
where from?
About half of those were done by us, and then it's not going to be 1,800. It's going to be fewer than that because they won't be real police officers. But I'll tell you something we probably can agree on, Mikey, and that's this. How is this going to work? At the moment, we've got a criminal justice summit happening down in Porirua, which is all about, you know, keeping people out of jail. Let's be blunt about that. You can say that's a good thing or a bad thing. I think it's personally it's a bad thing. You probably say, hey, you know, it's tough. We should do that, right? So part of that one side, that's what they're trying to do, get fewer people in prison. Well, what are police officers going to do? And if you have 1,800 of them, what are they going to do? They're going to lock more people up. That's the advice the government has got. So I just don't know how it's going to work.
With the Justice Summit, are you guys adequately represented there? Are you guys at the National Party?
I've got probably far too many MPs there, actually. I was talking with them last night. I've got Mark Mitchell, I've got Kamalja Bakshi, I've got Christopher Bishop, I've got David Bennett. I mean, there's one or two others besides. Of course, I've got Chester Burrows there, but he's not a National MP anymore. He's turned to the other side on these things. They are there. I mean, their basic view of it was, you know, look, at one level it was good. There was a big crowd there, about 700, but a real talk fest. They didn't see anything coming out of it. It was very sort of once over lightly. I think as we said in our press release, but they said it's absolutely kind of how it feels. It feels a bit more like a yoga session than it does a hard-hitting kind of detailed session on criminal justice. All of that says to me that Andrew Little knows what he wants to do, but he's just sort of creating the softening up in the public for what he's going to do, and then he'll bring it out sometime in the next couple of years.
So do you agree though that like you suggested what I thought about the justice system? I think it's fascinating. We're still running the same justice system essentially that we were running at the end of World War II.
Yeah.
We're maybe a bit more culturally aware, that's about it. Yeah. But as far as the system and the way it works, it's that antiquated and it doesn't work. And so just keeping locking people up is not going to make – it's not going to do anything.
I get that. But it's a bit like, you know, Churchill said about democracy. It's the worst system apart from all of the others. I mean, when you've got a really bad offender who's committed a heinous rape or a murder, you know what I mean, but the serious stuff – what else do you sort of do? Well, I think you do have to have those tough law and order policies. Where we agree, though, and actually where I think Illito will go, and we will support him on this to this stuff, we won't support the softening of the laws, but we will support anything that's about creating less offending, you know, on the before they get to jail, just, you know, all of that, and then better rehabilitation and reintegration and programs to make sure actually when, you know, that guy does, because mostly it is guys, does get out of jail, they are much more likely to go on and, you know, maybe get a job, maybe do something productive with their lives rather than get themselves back into crime. So anything that's about rehabilitation and reintegration, we're likely to be very collaborative on. But I'm sorry, I am on the side of I'd rather have a few more prisoners and less victims than the other.
I don't think anybody wants more victims at all.
No.
I just think that it's the I just wonder whether we need a massive sea change in the way that we approach crime and criminals in this country, because we just, it's almost like it's a big petri dish. We just sort of feed the machine. You've obviously you've been a politician long enough and a New Zealand person, New Zealand citizen, long enough to know that our court system is a ponderous old bloated pig of a thing. Yeah. And it just and seems to be getting more and more muddled up every day, and that's half the problem.
And the thing was,
which is half of what the Ministry of Justice does as well.
Yeah, and you talk about gangs, right? I mean, you know, I get it. Get gangs, you send someone to prison, and they're there with people in the gangs and so on. Is that a good environment for them? I understand the difficulty of all of that.
I guess I'm talking about what do we do?
I think myself, we stay strong on actually, you do the crime, you do the time, but we do look for creative ways before prison, when they're in prison, when they're outside of prison, to make sure they don't go back there.
I think part of what, where the, my personal opinion is part of where the justice system needs to focus on is before, is actually getting the human psyche, in the New Zealanders' psyche into, hey, don't do the crime.
Yeah,
because
totally.
That takes the pressure off the court system, takes pressure off the police, takes pressure off the prisons. Just it is a much bigger picture, but I think that's got to be taken into consideration.
Oh, totally, and that's I think it's about education. I think it's about welfare. I think it's actually about honest conversations about, you know, family support and strong families, which, you know, starts sounding very moralistic, and none of us are like that. But those are those.
You're the leader of the National Party. You're allowed to be moralistic.
Something like that.
Yeah. Hey, all right, Simon, thank you very much for talking to us. We'll speak to you again in a few weeks.
Cheers, mate. See you later.
Thank you.
That was What's Up with Opposition Leader Simon Bridges.